And Richard Armitage joins us from his offices in Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ms. Block.
I wonder if you could place this meeting with General Mahmoud in time for us. He happened to be in Washington for meetings on 9/11, the day of the attacks. He was the head of Pakistani intelligence. When were you meeting with him?
I met with General Mahmoud for the first time on September 12th and for the second time on September 13th.
So immediately after the 9/11 attacks. And your purpose in that meeting was what?
To get Pakistan on our side in this great struggle. Secondarily, there was an opportunity to bring Pakistan out of the hole that they had dug for themselves with U.S. relations over the preceding 5 or 10 years.
You've heard General Musharraf's version of what you told General Mahmoud. If Pakistan didn't cooperate with the United States, his version is this: be prepared to be bombed, be prepared to go back to the Stone Age. What is your version of what you said?
First of all, in my entire adult life, I don't think I've ever uttered a threat that I wasn't prepared to follow through on. Since I wasn't authorized to use such florid language, I can assure you I did not. But I did tell our Pakistani visitor that this was going to be a black or white issue. Pakistan was either with us or against us in this war on terrorism. It was a very strong message.
That's the language you used.
Absolutely. I had the cable reread to me this morning so I could be sure.
Were there any other words in that cable that you remember saying?
Well, that the strength of the anger of the American people on this issue, that it was time for Pakistan to make a principled stance, and that he, General Mahmoud, should get in touch with President Musharraf and determine if they're willing to participate with us. And if they were, I would meet with him on the next day, and Secretary Powell and I would present to him a list of requirements, not negotiations, requirements that we had to have to consider Pakistan on board with us.
You know, I've found several references to these alleged comments from you in reports that go several years back. It's not just these comments from Musharraf now in 60 Minutes, but in Asia Times, Deutsche Welle, Dawn, you see a lot of these things. One is this: help us and breathe in the 21st century along with the international community, or be prepared to live in the Stone Age. That's one version of what you allegedly said in that meeting.
I wish I were so erudite.
Nothing close to that.
No.
Is it possible that you referred to the Stone Age, maybe not bombing back to the Stone Age, but a reference to the Stone Age?
No.
And just to be clear, was this meeting conducted in English or through an interpreter?
It was in English, and he spoke English.
The implied message certainly seems to be, join us or else, that there would be some sort of ultimatum given. What would the or else side of that equation
be? I didn't lay out an or else. It was clear that you're either with us or against us. But already Pakistan was enjoying an uncomfortable relationship and had for several years with the United States. I think the implication was that if Pakistan was on board, there was an opportunity for a much brighter future between our two nations.
And would there be at least an implied threat if they did not come on board?
No more than I said, with us or against us.
You know well that you're known for tough talk, sort of a bull in the china shop approach. It would not be out of character, a number of people are saying, for you to say something like this.
It would be completely out of character for me to threaten the use of military force when I was not authorized to do so. I don't command aircraft and could not make good on such a threat.
How do you explain that President Musharraf is saying this now?
Well, I noticed that President Musharraf indicates that this was the message he got from his chief of intelligence, a man who was fired. So I can't be responsible for what the chief of intelligence told President Musharraf. In fact, I met with President Musharraf yesterday at Blair House. Actually, we smiled at this. He said, this is what I was told by Mahmoud, but he said, Rich, you'll notice that I also went on to say I found you a very accommodating fellow.
And did President Musharraf accept your version of events?
I don't know. We went on to other subjects.
What were the immediate effects of the meetings you had back in 2001, just after 9/11, with General Mahmoud?
Well, immediately we got cooperation on such things as overflight and cessation of goods and gasoline and things of that nature. One thing we didn't want them to do was to break relations with the Taliban. We wanted them to maintain relations because at that time we had two young women who were prisoners of the Taliban. And it was only after we got those women released that we asked them to break relations with the Taliban, and of course they did it.
I want to ask you about another context in which your name has come up, and this one involves the disclosure of the identity of a CIA operative to the columnist, Robert Novak. You have now said that you inadvertently leaked the connection of Valerie Plame to Mr. Novak, but he says you did that deliberately, that this was not idle chit-chat, and that you've actually been deceptive in this whole investigation.
No,
what do you say to Mr. Novak?
I didn't initiate the conversation on that issue. It was in response to a question that Mr. Novak asked me, and And I've not been deceptive on this, and I think it's fair to say that the special counsel did not find in his entire investigations that I'd been deceptive. I may be accused of being a bull in a china shop and a lot of other things, but a liar I've never been accused of.
Richard Armitage, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Ms. Block.
Richard Armitage is the former Deputy Secretary of State.